Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This is the Muslim Experience Podcast and I'm your host Farooq. So inshallah, we are going to continue our journey through the Quran. In this episode, we will cover Surah Al-Anbiya, Surah Hajj and Surah Al-Mu'minun. So let's start with Surah Al-Anbiya. Surah Al-Anbiya is a Makki surah. The beginning of the surah is very powerful. We are reminded as mankind that we are heedless. Even though the reckoning is coming close, we are distracted of this world. So verse number 1, the time of their account has approached for the people while they are in heedlessness turning away. Verse number 2, no mention comes to them anew from their Lord except that they listen to it a while they are at play. Number 3, with their hearts distracted and those who do wrong conceal their private conversation saying, is this prophet except a human being like you? So would you approach magic while you are aware of it? Verse number 4. The prophet said, my Lord knows whatever is said through the heaven and the earth, and he is the hearing and the knowing. So bearing in mind almost all of the minor signs that we are told by Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam have already occurred. So of course this makes it more relevant as to what are we preparing for the hereafter? What are we preparing when we face Allah and we are given our book of deeds, whether it's in our left hand or our right hand? We pray that we are given our book of deeds in our right hand and we are the people of the right. There is also a warning to mankind in this surah, verse number 7. And we sent not before you, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, except men to whom we revealed the message. So ask the people of the message if you do not know. And verse number 8, and we did not make the prophets form not eating food, nor were they immortal on earth. And we did not grant to any man before you eternity on earth. So if you die, would they be eternal? So the prophets were not superhuman. They will eat, they will sleep, and they will die one day. And, you know, that's what happened. They died. So these are just reminders for us that none of us are going to stay here forever on this earth. We are simply passing through and we are traveling. So what are we preparing for when we leave this world? It continues reminding us about death in verse number 35. Every soul will taste death, and we test you with evil and with good as trial, and to us you will be returned. So the prophets came with the same message for the whole of mankind, and theirs is a higher goal. Verse number 25, and we sent not before you any messenger except that we revealed to him that there is no deity except me, which is Allah. So worship me. Verse number 10, we have certainly sent down to you in a book in which is your mention. Then will you not reason? Verse number 45, say, I only warn you by revelation, but the deaf do not hear the call when they are warned. Verse number 16, and we did not create the heaven and earth, and that between them in play. So this world, everything about it is a diversion, it is a test, it is here for a temporary moment in your life, and the prophets that were sent were clear warners to the whole of mankind, and each and every one of us have warnings in our lives, and whether we take them or ignore them, we will be accountable for that decision. There is also the validity of the Quran. No one could have described the embryo, for instance, the planets, how they are in perfect orbit. Everything that you hear about in science today, it's nothing new because the Quran already mentions all of this, how we came into creation, how the human being is created, how it developed. So the Quran stands on its own. It is not just proved through science. Verse number 30. Have those who disbelieved not considered that the heavens and the earth were a joint entity, and we separated them and made from them water for every living thing? Then will they not believe? Rather, we dash the truth upon falsehood, and it destroys it, and thereupon it departs. And for you is destruction from which you describe. So how many other proofs do you need? Look around you, everything, how it is perfectly created and these are signs for those who have intellect. This surah also mentions about the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam and the destruction of the idols, and how when he was thrown into the fire, verse number 69, Allah said, O fire, be coolness and safety upon Abraham. Verse number 70, and they intended for him harm, but we made them the greatest losers. Verse number 71, and we delivered him and Lot to the land which he had blessed for the worlds. Verse number 72, and we gave Isaac and Jacob in addition, and all of them we made righteous. Verse number 73, and we made them leaders, guiding by our command, and we inspired to them the doing of good deeds, establishment of prayer, and giving of zakah, and they were worshippers to us. Verse number 74, and to Lot we gave judgment and knowledge, and we saved him from the city that was committing wicked deeds. Indeed, they were a people of evil, defiantly disobedient. So that is telling us about Lut alayhi salam, who was warned to leave that town or city that he was in because the people within it were disobedient and evil, and they were to be destroyed. And that is what happened. There is also about the story of Dawood and Suleiman in a particular case where a sheep wanders from one area to someone else's area. And of course, there's a dispute between the farmers. And the moral of that story, you know, the elders should listen to the youngsters because, you know, we must not shut them off. And even though the sheep wandered in and ate the crops of the other, the court was suing each other. So David was the king, and he ruled that seems the sheep had damaged the crops, the sheep should be awarded to the person whose crops were ruined. But Suleiman said, the crops will actually come back to normal and the sheep's owner will be bankrupt. So the sheep should be handed over for a time, and as soon as the crops grow, then the sheep is to be given back. And that was concluded in that specific case. There is also a story about Ayyub alayhi salam, verses number 83 to 84. About the dua, about his status. Verse number 83, and mentioned Job, when he called to his Lord, indeed, adversity has touched me, and you are the most merciful of the merciful. 84, so we responded to him and removed what afflicted him of adversity, and we gave him back his family and the like thereof. So just as Ayyub alayhi salam lost literally everything around him, he made that dua. And just focus on that dua. You know, he didn't complain. He literally said, adversity has touched me. He didn't blame anyone. He didn't blame Allah. And then, of course, he mentions to Allah that he is the most merciful of the merciful. So what a beautiful dua for us to reflect on. There is also the story of Yunus alayhi salam, when he makes a dua at the time of distress. Verses number 87 to 88 cover this. So the prophets cannot just walk away without the permission of Allah. So even though his people weren't listening to him, eventually he just gave up and left them. And look what happens. He gets swallowed by the whale. Verse number 87, and mention the man of the fish, when he went off in anger and thought that we would not decree anything upon him, and he called out within the darkness, there is no deity except you. Exalted are you. Indeed, I have been of the wrongdoers. Verse number 88. So we responded to him and saved him from this distress. And thus do we save the believers. There is also mention of Judgment Day in verses 102 to 107, which concludes the end of this surah. Verse number 102. They will not hear its sound while they are in that which their souls desire, abiding eternally. 103. They will not be grieved by the greatest terror, and the angel will meet them, saying, this is your day, which you have been promised. Verse number 84. The day when we will fold heaven like the folding of a written sheet for the records, and we began the first creation. We will repeat it. That is a promise binding upon us. Indeed, we will do it. Verse number 105. And we will have already written in the book of Psalms after the previous mention that the land of paradise is inherited by my righteous servants. So make sure you read verses 102 to 107, and that gives us some great descriptions of the Day of Judgment. Inshallah, we are now going to move on to Surah Al-Hajj. So Surah Al-Hajj, the context, background, this mentioning about the strictness and harshness in the Surah. Allah criticizes the Quraysh from preventing the people from worshipping Allah in the Kaaba. And the Quraysh are supposed to be custodians, yet they are preventing access. This happens at the end of the Makkah era. Verse number 25, indeed, those who have disbelieved and avert people from the way of Allah and from the Al-Masjid Al-Haram, which we made for the people, equal are the resident therein, and one from outside, and also whoever intends a deed therein of deviation in religion or wrongdoing, we will make him taste of a painful punishment. So the Quraysh are being told that they are preventing people from accessing the Kaaba. This is very wrong, and they must stop. Verses number 1 to 5 summarizes the passage of life from birth to death, which I'll cover just briefly. Verse number 1, O mankind, fear your Lord. Indeed, the convulsion of the final hour is a terrible thing. Verse number 2, on the day you see that every nursing mother will be distracted from that child she was nursing, and every pregnant woman will abort her pregnancy, and you will see the people appearing intoxicated while they are not intoxicated, but the punishment of Allah is severe. Verse number 3, and of the people is he who disputes about Allah without knowledge and follows every rebellious devil. Verse number 4, and it has been decreed for every devil that whoever turns to him, he will misguide him and he will lead him to the punishment of the blaze. Verse number 11 is particularly important, especially when people who worship Allah and they are literally on edge. So if something good touches them, they are reassured by it. But if they are struck in trial, if they are given a test or a tribulation, they turn away. And that is something that you don't want to do. Do not go the opposite direction, especially if something of a tribulation was to hit you in life. Stick to the consistent path of Allah and remain in that state, and Allah will help you in all conditions. We move on to verses number 26 to 32. Allah told Ibrahim, your job is to convey, and my job is that people hear the call and respond. So the Hajj has been one of the largest religious gatherings of the world, consistently over 5,000 years. So just remember, from the time of when the Kaaba was built, when Ibrahim alayhi salam was ordered to build it, and that way he was to call people from all walks of life, and that continues to this day. And this is a blessing and a miracle of Allah. Verse number 26, and mention, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when we designated for Abraham the site of the house, saying, do not associate anything with me, and purify my house for those who perform tawaf and those who stand in prayer, and those who bow and prostrate. So these are beautiful verses that describe what is to happen, and Ibrahim alayhi salam is provided with this information that he is to call upon people to come and gather where the Kaaba is. And I wanted to conclude. Verse number 37 beautifully explains the philosophy of Hajj, the rituals, the fasting, and everything that is so beautiful in Islam. So what reaches Allah is your piety, your subservience, and what will benefit us is what we do. So when we fast, we go for the pilgrimage, we give to charity, etc. All these things are going to benefit us in this world and also especially in the hereafter. So as we mentioned at the beginning of this surah, about verse number 25, it criticizes the people who stopped people coming from worshipping at the Kaaba, and the people of Makkah do not have a privilege of stopping people to come in or out. No one has superiority there. So this is the land of Makkah, and it is for all Muslims to access. Verse number 38 to 40. This confirms the just war theory between the Quraysh Allah mentions in verse number 38. Indeed, Allah defends those who have believed. Indeed, Allah does not like everyone treacherous and ungrateful. Verse number 39. Permission to fight has been given to those who are being fought because they were wronged, and indeed, Allah is competent to give them victory. We move on to verse number 73, presents a powerful analogy of the people of Makkah, which destroys the arguments of idolatry by simple human observation. It gives an example of people who pray to something that cannot even create a fly or protect itself against a fly, something so small. So that is mentioned in verse number 73. And then we move on to verse number 77 to 78. He has chosen you, O Muslim. Islam is not a new religion. It goes back at the beginning of time. Number 77. O you who have believed, bow and prostrate and worship your Lord and do good, that you may succeed. 78. And strive for Allah with the striving due to Him. He has chosen you and has not placed upon you in the religion any difficulty. It is the religion of your father Abraham. Allah named you Muslims before the former scriptures, and this revelation, that the messenger may be a witness over you and you may be a witness over the people. So establish prayer and give zakah and hold fast to Allah. He is your protector, and excellent is the protector, and excellent is the helper. And that concludes Surah Al-Hajj. We will now move on to Surah Al-Mu'minun. So Surah Al-Mu'minun is a Makki surah, and the characteristics of the believer is mentioned in this, the people of Iman, and how Allah protected them in the past and how they will be protected in the future, as well as the hereafter. There is also the discussion of the reality of Iman in Allah, faith in Allah, and it refutes key arguments. Judgment Day is also mentioned in this surah. So look at these beautiful characteristics mentioned in verse number 1 to 11. Check on yourself on these. How many of these characters do you meet? So verse number 1. Certainly with the believers have succeeded. They who are during their prayer humbly submissive, and they who turn away from ill speech, and they who are observant of zakah, and they who guard their private parts, except from their wives or those their right hands possess. For indeed, they will not be blamed. But whoever seeks beyond that, then those who are the transgressors, and they who are to their trusts and their promises attentive, and they who carefully maintain their prayers, those are the inheritors who will inherit Al-Firdaus, which is a Jannah. They will abide therein eternally. Verses number 43, 53 to 55, and also 56 and 57 mention about the story of the previous prophets. And the default rule in people is they don't want to follow the prophets. They want to stick to their old ways. They want to stick to what their forefathers passed down. And they are very reluctant for change. The prophets came as warners to them and to stop what they are doing, especially when they are associating partners with Allah, or they are idol worshipping, or simply not worshipping anything at all. So Nuh, Musa and Isa, all these prophets and the previous prophets and Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, all the people around them, they were constantly rejecting the messages that were being sent down. And the same message was to basically worship Allah alone. And all the prophets shared this same message. Verse number 43. Then we sent our messengers in succession, so one after the other. Every time they came to a nation, its messenger, they denied him. So we made them follow one another to destruction. If they don't believe the prophets, they start to follow one another into destruction. So that again is like being a crowd follower nowadays. Who are you following? Who is your role model? And you will be raised up with them, and wherever they go, into the hellfire, you will go. Unless, of course, it's someone good. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is our role model. We should ideally follow his way of life. Verse number 55. Do they think that what we extend to them of wealth and children is because we hasten for them good tidings? Rather, they do not perceive. Did they assume they lived lavishly that Allah is happy with them? It's not about this world. It's not about fame, power, etc. It means nothing. And verse number 57. Indeed, they are who are apprehensive from fear of their Lord. To doubt your own piety is the essence of piety. To feel confident about your piety is like the essence of arrogance. So the example, Umar radiallahu anhu was begging Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu to know if he, Umar, was amongst the list of hypocrites, even though he was told his place in Jannah is already there. He was so worried in that sense about his piety, he didn't want to come across as arrogant. Verse number 57. Indeed, they who are apprehensive from fear of their Lord, 58, and they who believe in the signs of their Lord, 59, and they who do not associate anything with their Lord, number 60, and they who give what they give while their hearts are fearful, because they will be returning to their Lord. So with Islam, it is to submit to Allah and to be humble and show humility in front of Allah. And it is best to not be certain of your own piety. Verse number 67 to 70 is mentioned about time and how precious it is. We are playing and we are entertained in our lives in this world. But when our lives become primarily about playing and entertaining, and we abandon what is far more noble, surely that is not a sign of wisdom. Verse number 66, my verses had already been recited to you, but you were turning back on your heels. 67, in arrogance regarding it, conversing by night, speaking evil. Verse number 68, they have not reflected over the Quran, or has there come to them which had not come to their forefathers? So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, of course, people around him, even though the warnings were there, he constantly spent day and night trying to warn them about what is to come if they didn't stop living the way they were living. But yet they were too busy in play and entertainment. They were too distracted of this world and everything within it. And they did not think that they were going to leave this world one day. They didn't think that they were going to die. They just enjoyed the moment. Verse number 71 talks about societies whose morality is not rooted in religion. We see so many social ills and the fabric of society ruptured from its very core. Verse number 71. But if the truth had followed their inclinations, the heavens and the earth and whoever is in them would have been ruined. Rather, we have brought them their message, but they from their message are turning away. So again, turning away from the message, the warning about Allah and to worship Him alone, they are turning away from it. 78 to 79. Many blessings were given to mankind. Hearing, eyesight, alternation of the night and day. Verse number 78. And it is He who produced for you hearing and vision and hearts. Little are you grateful. 79. And it is He who has multiplied you throughout the earth, and to Him you will be gathered. Verse number 84 to 92 mentions the theology of idolatry is then challenged. There is mention of the evidence of the impossibility of there being multiple gods. Even in our own world, it's impossible that more than one person in charge of any major thing, so the captain of the ship, for instance, the CEO of the company, etc., there can't be two bosses, there can't be two CEOs, etc. There can only be one Lord, and that is Allah, and He is our Lord. Verse number 84. Say, O Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to whom belongs the earth and whoever is in it, if you should know? 85. They will say, to Allah. Say, then, will you not remember? 86. Say, who is your Lord of the seven heavens and the Lord of the great throne? 87. They will say, they belong to Allah. Say then, will you not fear Him? Verse number 88. Say, in whose hand is the realm of all things, and He protects while none can protect against Him, if you should know? Verse number 89. They will say, all belongs to Allah. Say, then how are you deluded? Verse number 90. Rather, we have brought them the truth, and indeed they are liars. Verse number 91. Allah has not taken any son, nor has there ever been with him any deity. If there had been, then in each deity would have taken what is created, and some of them would have sought to overcome others. So it's reminding that if there were some other deities, they would have probably fought amongst each other. But there is no deity apart from Allah. Exalted is Allah above what they describe concerning him. Verse number 92. He is the knower of the unseen and the witnessed. So high is he above what they associate with him. Verses number 99 to 103 of this surah remind us about death. These are very powerful verses. I urge you to read them. It's a clear manifestation of the regret of those who spent a lifetime of doing nothing. May we not be of those who regret on the day that when we leave this world. And I'm going to conclude with the last few verses. Verses number 112 to 117. Don't be amongst those who accuse Allah of not giving enough time. So imagine a student in an exam and at the end he complains he didn't have enough time. Like everyone had the same time. So these verses mention about a conversation that takes place between the people who are obviously in regret. They felt like they needed more time. The time that they will say that they spent on this earth was one day and they were given enough time to turn to Allah. So there is mention about being created uselessly and then to be returned back to Allah. Of course not. Your purpose is to worship Allah. You were created for that specific purpose. And then verse number 118. And O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, say, my Lord, forgive and have mercy. And you are the best of the merciful. And this is a beautiful dua that we can learn and memorize, inshallah. This concludes Surah Al-Mu'minun. Join me next time for when we cover Surah An-Nur and Surah Al-Furqan, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.